hello to everyone and welcome to the teleclass, A Year of Cleaner and Safer Care. This is a report on the first year of the World Health Organization Global Patient Safety Challenge. My name is Paul Weber, and on behalf of my colleague, Dr. Syed Tatar, let me say what an honor it is to have you join us today. It is also a distinct honor to have Professor Didier Pité join us to give this teleclass lecture. During a teleclass in 2005, Professor Pité presented the idea for the first global patient safety challenge. This one is on hand hygiene. There will be others in the future, as you'll hear. It has been well received with tremendous acceptance worldwide. It's having a real impact on hospital-acquired infectious disease. I won't spend much time introducing Professor Pité. All of you will probably already know him as a global expert on hand hygiene, the author of or co-author of the CDC hand hygiene guidelines, as well as many other texts. He's an infection control physician, a man wildly popular as a conference speaker. And if you have ever seen him dance, you'll know that he is remarkably good at that as well. From the World Health Organization in Geneva, Switzerland, to give the teleclass First Global Patient Safety Challenge, A Year of Cleaner and Safer Care, it is my honor and my pleasure to present Professor Didier Pité. Professor Pité.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul. That's a pleasure to be on the line with all of you. And without further ado, I guess everybody is on slide number one, which is the title of the talk. And effectively, I will discuss a year of cleaner and safer care as a summary of the first year and a few months of the challenge of the World Health Organization. If I go to slide number two, as most of you are perfectly aware of, on average, between 8 and 12% of patients admitted in acute care hospitals in developed countries acquire a hospital-acquired infection. The risk is higher in critical care, ranging from, in this slide, I suggest 15 to 40%. We know that it can be more, but the risk is definitely higher in critical care, and it is 22 to 24 higher in developing countries. And that's a very important aspect of the discussion. As you know, this risk is really existent everywhere. The next slide. The next slide showed you an illustration of the different forms or many different forms and types of healthcare settings all around the world. And you see photos from tertiary care hospitals in Boston or in the so-called developed countries, and also in dispensaries in Mongolia, in Tibet, or in Africa, to show you the very wide differences between what is called healthcare setting. Importantly, the burden of disease outside hospitals is unknown, whereas we know something about the burden of disease in hospitals, it's clearly unknown from outside hospitals. And even more importantly, no hospital, no country, no healthcare system in the world can claim to have solved the problem. And I think that this is certainly something that is extremely important. Next slide. It's clear that healthcare-associated prevention is a major issue for patient safety. Now, in January 2002, the executive board of the World Health Organization, or if you like, WHO, discussed patient safety. In May 2002, a resolution WHA 55.8, which means a resolution that has been taken or adopted during the 55th World Health Assembly, where all Ministry of Health of the 192 countries of the United Nations who participate into WHO decided that patient safety would be such an important matter that it needs to be really addressed at the level of the World Health Organization. In May 2004, the support from the World Health Assembly was given to establish what has been called the World Alliance for Patient Safety. And in October 2004, the World Alliance was launched by the Director General of the World Health Organization. And it was at that time that patient safety really came onto the vision of most Ministry of Health from around the world. The next slide actually review for you four important points. The two first are on the slide number 5 that really address the issue of healthcare-associated infection as a major patient safety problem. And these are these type of arguments that have been used to actually make deciders within the World Health Organization to consider the prevention of healthcare-associated infection as a first priority and as a first challenge of the World Alliance for Patient Safety. Now, these arguments are that healthcare-associated infection affect hundreds of millions of individuals worldwide each year. And now that we are speaking, I can tell you that in hospitals only, every day, we are talking worldwide of 1.4 million patients infected. Healthcare-associated infection has multifaceted causation related to systems and process of care provision, economic constraints on systems and countries, and human behavior. The next slide shows you the two very important next points, which are that there are data to assess the size and nature of the problem and to create the basis for monitoring the effectiveness of action. And last but not least, there is a large patient safety gap. This is to say that some healthcare institutions and systems control the risk to patients much better than others. Next slide. But fortunately, there are solutions to the problem. Prevention strategies reduce infections in developed, transitional, and developing countries. Most solutions are simple and not resource demanding. But unfortunately, several healthcare settings have succeeded in reducing the risk to patients, but others have not. The next slide review for you the issue of these gaps. Gaps in patient safety arise because existing tools and interventions are not being implemented widely. And it is very important to recognize that gaps are not only between countries, but also within the same country, even from one hospital to another, both in developed and developing countries. So it's clear that this problem is a problem that is a worldwide problem, and not only a problem for developing countries, but also for the most advanced hospital around the world. Next slide. The next slide summarize the logos, if you like, of the first global patient safety challenge of the World Alliance for Patient Safety, which is named Clean Care is Safer Care. The objective is to reduce healthcare-associated infections worldwide using hand hygiene as a cornerstone. However, next slide, Clean Care is Safer Care actually has 5 different components. Blood safety, clinical procedure safety, safety of injection and immunization, safe water and waste management and sanitation of waste and management of waste, and as already said, the promotion of hand hygiene that is considered as the most important element, as everybody knows, for the prevention of healthcare-associated infection, whatever would be the level of patient care and whatever would be the healthcare, the level of the healthcare setting. Next slide. This next line give you the outline of what I would like to discuss with you today. We will now review the key success factors of the first challenge, reviewing current achievements, speaking of country commitment, global awareness raising, and the WHO guidelines that have been prepared and issued, the new guidelines for hand hygiene in healthcare settings, and I will discuss very briefly the way forward. Next slide. To come back on the launch of the first Global Patient Safety Challenge, we launched the challenge at from WHO headquarters in Geneva in October 2005. You see here the photograph of the EB room at the United Nations. We were video linked with many countries from around the world to really make this event an important event worldwide. The next slide shows you actually the first seven countries who actually pledges, the Ministry of Health in those countries pledged to make healthcare-associated infection prevention a priority in their country, and it was the at that time that the first seven countries from around the world pledged. The next slide showed you actually the copies of the pledge from the different countries. One of them is in Arabic, another in English, a third would be in Italian, depending on the different countries. Here are the country pledges signed by the Ministry of Health themselves in the seven countries. And in this pledge, you can obviously not read it, but in this pledge, the Ministry of Health certified that the country will do something significant to make the prevention of healthcare-associated infection a priority in the country, and also to share some of the data in this experience. The next slide was the situation in November 2006 after the initial pledge on October 2005. We have had 12 months. During those 12 months, many more countries came on board and signed the pledge. And then we had a one-year anniversary event on November 10, 2006. And at that time, some countries came on board and signed the pledge. And on the next figure, you have four photos where you see Sir Liam Donaldson, the chair of the World Alliance for Patient Safety, shaking hands with the Ministry of Health of Sudan, the Ministry of Health of Singapore, and you have a talk of the Ministry of Health of Finland, and also from the USA, signing the pledge for the USA, Carolyn Clancy, the director of the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality in the United States. The next slide showed you the current situation as of March 2007. There are the countries committed to pledge against healthcare-associated infection in orange in 2005, 2006, and 2007. These are the countries who have signed. In blue, you have the country who are planning to commit in 2007, and in light blue, the country is interested to commit in 2007. But that, once again, this is the situation as of March 2007, and this situation may change, actually, and is changing almost every day. It's important to realize the spread and the scaling up of this campaign, which is probably completely unprecedented based actually on WHO campaigning issues from the several past years. On the next slide, and I don't want to spend too much time on this slide, you here have listed the countries as committed to address healthcare-associated infection in our strategy. The next slide is an interesting one because it gives you the population coverage of this worldwide initiative as of March 2007. In orange, the country we have signed already. In blue, the one we plan to sign. And as you can see, we are reaching more than 70% of the world population covered by Clean Care is Safer Care. Actually, our objective is to reach at least 75% of the world population before the end of 2007. Well, importantly, and this is the next slide, we have obtained data from country after they have been pledging for the campaign. And here is a map where you see country progress reports that we obtain following the pledge from a number of countries who had signed the pledge previously. The next slide showed you a summary of the different types and the different forms that can take country pledges and country progress reports. What we have noticed is that in many countries there have been new policy development, financial and human resources allocation, national campaigning, I will come back on that, national guidelines, taking our guidelines made at WHO and actually adapting the guidelines to the different countries, training programs that have been set up, surveillance systems that have started, and multimodal programs implemented in several healthcare settings, if not in almost all healthcare settings in some countries. So this is just to show you the number of things that may have happened in the several countries. Of course, in some countries only one or two things happened, but in some others there have been most of those actions have been taken on after the Ministry of Health had signed the pledge. The next slide is absolutely unique to me. It's a unique illustration of the impact of the pledges on the countries. Can you imagine that since the beginning of the campaign, as many as 12 countries have started or are currently in a very advanced planning of starting nationwide hand hygiene promotion campaigns. And those countries are listed here, and there are many more countries that who are interested and are contacting us at WHO to start embarking into nationwide campaign for hand hygiene promotion, which is absolutely unique and really express the importance of having a political commitment to the topic of the prevention of healthcare-associated infection, in particular through the wide promotion of hand hygiene using our implementation strategy. The next slide is actually are some photographs at the time of the country report. You can recognize, maybe I don't know if this is clear on your slides, but this is from Italy, from Switzerland, from Saudi Arabia, and from Scotland, where when we got the country report, it was addressed by the Ministry of Health himself, Andy Kerr, was giving the report. So you have a Ministry of Health who got interested into the prevention of healthcare-associated infection and was able to really give a country report. And I think that's pretty unique in the story of infection control worldwide. The next slides are some examples. The next slide is country progress report from Malaysia. You can see the time of the launch with the official ceremony, actually the pledge, then the material that has been adapted for the campaign, and then the nationwide campaign has started. The next slide showed you some example of the material that has been developed in the Russian federations, in Georgia in particular, as well as in other Russian federations. The next slide shows you the time of the launch and also of the report of the Saudi Arabia. And I would like to spend a few minutes on the issue of Saudi Arabia, because they have a tremendous national campaigns promoting hand hygiene using tools developed at the World Health Organization. But for these, as you know, they had to actually move into using alcohol-based hand rubs. And this is the case. More than 200 hospitals have been fully equipped with alcohol-based hand rub at the bedside. And here you see actually a Muslim healthcare workers using the alcohol-based hand rub. As you can understand and as you all imagine, and for those who are interested, we had within WHO to make special efforts to provide the state-of-the-art information concerning the use of alcohol-based hand rub among Muslim healthcare workers. And this actually has been published in The Lancet in 2006, volume 367, page 1025 and follows. And I can tell you that our efforts have been very, very well appreciated, in particular, of course, by the Muslim healthcare workers. We had to consult the Muslim clergy, we had to review the Quran, we had to consult Muslim scholars, and this actually is a very, very important piece of work that has been made within the framework of this worldwide campaign that, of course, should consider religious differences from all over the world. The next slide is a little busy because it's usually animated and makes it easy to follow, but this is a country progress report from Switzerland, where actually the material on the right-hand side, which is in red, has been adapted from the WHO tools that are available, and this material has been translated in the three languages that are the official languages in Switzerland. This is Italian, French, and German, and actually have been used in a promotion campaign. We have monitored compliance with hand hygiene practices, and this is the little figure on the left-hand side of the slide. And in May 2005, the average compliance in Switzerland, 116 hospitals where compliance has been monitored, was 54% on average. And 4 months after the beginning of the campaign that started in January 2006, we monitored the practice again, and it was 68%. So it represents a 25% increase of hand hygiene compliance in 4 months using the tools that have been developed within the WHO campaign, and that are made available to all of you and to all countries when they are willing to use it. In the meantime, infections were monitored in parallel as compared to the year before. Around 17,000 infections were prevented for a country like Switzerland, which is a relatively small country, a country with 8 million inhabitants. The cost savings of these infection prevention were around 60 million Swiss francs, which is around 60 million US dollars for 2006. So clearly a very tremendous impact and no doubt very cost effective. We'll move to the next slide. So at this step, I should say that these are where the slides were organized. So for those who have corrected the last slide, we move to the next slide. For those who have corrected their PowerPoint file, the title of the slide is Achievements During 2006, so clearly achievements of the Global Patient Safety Challenge, speaking of the global awareness raising. Well, I have listed the achievements, widespread dissemination of advocacy publications, we'll come back later to that, a year of cleaner and safer care, a one-year anniversary event. We gave more than 50 keynote plenary lectures across the six WHO regions all over the world. We published 17 academic publications in peer-reviewed journals. We have a standalone website for the challenge with a web platform for pilot and complementary sites. I will come back on that. We issue a monthly newsletter. We had a media coverage in all the WHO regions. We have a database that and you can be part of this database of more than 1,500 stakeholders. We have 66 infection control organizations that have been invited to commit to the challenge and take actions in their country. The next slide is actually a picture of one page of the website. I invite you to visit the website. You have the website address clearly indicated. As I say, we issue a monthly news alert. We have up to 1,000 hits for guideline downloads every month. We actually have a registration and interactive platform for the test sites. So this is just an illustration. The next slide, and we are at the slide number 30, is to illustrate an example of the mobilization of the stakeholders in North America by three examples. In North America, number one, the Patient Safety Week of the Canadian Patient Safety Foundation was actually dedicated to hand hygiene promotion in October 20 to 27 of 2006 with the logo, "It's in your hands, clean them well, clean them often." Then we had the Joint Commission. The Joint Commission had really infection control requirements, and the reduction of healthcare-associated infection is really something that is considered as a top priority by the Joint Commission, and in particular by Dennis O'Leary, the president of the Joint Commission. And I can tell you that there will be new recommendations coming from the Joint Commission to be used in all hospitals in the United States. And Joint Commission International will certainly embark onto the same strategy. And finally, for this example of stakeholder mobilization in the North America, EPIC had the International Infection Prevention Week, October 16 to 22, 2006, dedicated to hand hygiene promotion. Infection prevention, it's in your hands, was the logo of the campaigning by EPIC. The next slide is the third part of what I wanted to address with you today. This is actually to revise with you a few things considering one part, a very important part of what we did in this campaign, which is actually to work for almost 2 years on the new WHO guidelines on hand hygiene in healthcare. So it's meaning that we are taking anywhere where healthcare is provided. We issued an advanced draft, and the document is a very important document that we had two international consultations with more than 150 experts from all around the world and from WHO. We have 9 task forces working on different issues as religious factors, as education, as the formulation of the so-called WHO alcohol-based hand rubs, and so on and so on. This document is more than 700 references, and it's currently under testing in several sites all around the world. Summary have been translated in all 6 official WHO languages that are, of course, English, French, Chinese, Arabic, Spanish, and actually Russian. And I can tell you that those guidelines have already been translated in non-official WHO languages like Italian. They are on the process, we are on the process to translate it in several other languages. So it's really making it very universal. The next slide. The next slide is actually reviewing quickly with you the critical factors, which also are the critical differences with all guidelines for hand hygiene that have been previously published, including the so-called CDC guidelines that I actually personally co-prepared and co-edited with the task force, and John Boyce and myself were the lead of this task force that was asked by CDC. And the guidelines, as you know, were published in 2002. But the new guidelines at WHO are extremely different because they actually have an implementation strategy and a large set of tools that have been developed in order to really go into action. Because as we know, to have guidelines is not enough. We need actually to make sure that those guidelines are applied. And I just reviewed with you the 5 critical features of those guidelines. Number one is engineering control, or if you want, the system change. Make alcohol-based hand rubs available at the point of care. And I really insist, because it is not clear when I visit many hospitals from around the world, of this parameter. Make sure that alcohol is available at the point of care. This is not in the corridor before you enter the patient room. This is really in the room as close as possible to the patient bed. And I think that this is extremely important. We need to, of course, access safe continuous water supply, soap and towels in some institution where it is not the case. But the most important part is make sure alcohol-based hand rub is available at the point of care. The second point is training and education. The third is observation and feedback. The fourth is reminders in the workplace. And the fifth is institutional safety climate, using active participation at both institutional and individual level, as well as promoting individual and institutional self-efficacy. Now, for all these critical elements, we have developed tools that are really easy to use and will facilitate your action. So I go to the next slide, which summarizes for you the WHO multimodal implementation strategy to improve hand hygiene, which is based on evidence. So this is a multimodal strategy based on an evidence-based approach. It contains five core components that are listed here: system change, training and education, measurement of an observation and feedback, reminders, establishment of safety climate. It also includes additional components that could be incorporated and are incorporated in some countries or in some hospitals. But the five critical elements are extremely important. And the next slide shows to you, actually, it's certainly very difficult to read, but it gives you an idea of the number of tools that have been developed for each of these five critical elements. So if I take the first line, and to say that we really have a pilot implementation pack ready that already has been used, translated in several languages. We have a guide to implementation that really drives you through the step to make sure that you can implement your strategy. And for each of the five different critical elements, we have developed tools. Tools for system change that goes from a facility situation analysis to a guide to local production of alcohol, to a guide to monitor the alcohol hand rub production and costing tool, to a ward structure survey, as well as to many other aspects. But then we have tools for training and education that include questionnaires and brochures and posters and different education presentation, PowerPoint presentation that you can use, as well as a manual of the observer. We really have a complete manual to help you make the observation. Then we have tool for feedback, tool for reminding staff in the workplace that include different posters and different material, and also tools for promotion of a safety culture. The next slide actually summarized that we have developed a five-step pilot implementation strategy that is going from facility preparedness, baseline evaluation, implementation, follow-up evaluation, and action planning and review. The next slide is something that you know very well. It's clear that those guidelines include the wide adoption of alcohol-based hand rubbing as the gold standard of care. And that's really one of the very important parameter of this multimodal intervention strategy. The next slide gives you some information and some figures that you may have difficulty to see on your slides because the animation has been suppressed. But anyway, we made everything possible for every institution from all around the world to, if necessary, develop their own alcohol-based hand rub, and we make sure that the formulation can be prepared even in the most remote area in the world. And the next slide show you a figure, actually a photograph taken from our pilot site in Mali, in Africa, one of the poorest country in the world, where, and the slide is in French, Solution Hygiène des Mains means alcohol-based hand rub formulation, the so-called WHO formulation that is prepared in Mali and about to be distributed in the entire country at very, very low cost. The next slide shows you actually an example of the Department of Health in Hong Kong, who is preparing the WHO alcohol-based hand rub formulation for all hospitals, all healthcare settings in the Hong Kong area. It was a picture taken in April 2006, at the time we met with the Ministry of Health and different people, and you can recognize probably behind me Professor Sito, who actually will give a lecture soon in the teleclass. On the next slide, you can see this bottle where I'm here with the Ministry of Health, and as you can see, the Department of Health is very proud of this WHO alcohol-based hand rub formulation that actually is produced at a very, very low cost to be used in the all healthcare setting in Hong Kong, which is one of our countryside tests. Now, the next slide remind you that the second step is training and education. And for reason of time, you cannot see all the tools that have been developed. We have tools to really help to remind people how to hand rub, when to hand rub. We have developed new tools and new concepts with that can be summarized in 5 indications at the bedside, a very simple tool for education, training, and education. The next slide showed you some local adaptation for training and education that have already been made with our material in different countries from all around the world. Translation into several languages, modification of the figures, and so on, to make sure people will understand and use the tools. The next slide is the third critical feature, which is actually observation and feedback. And here we made a very important development. We have developed instruments that are very easy to use. We can actually train healthcare workers in 5 hours to recognize the indications for hand hygiene and do the monitoring, and we have provided tools for feedback to the results of the observation to healthcare workers and also to healthcare administrators in the guide of the observer that we have developed, which is a very important part of our action. The next slide is to show you some of the reminders that have been prepared for the workplace, and they have been developed and they are ready to be actually translated in several languages. They have been translated by several countries already in some languages. And the next slide showed you some local adaptations of the tools. Unfortunately, you cannot see all the tools in the projection, but first on the left has been translated in French, then in Italian, then in Russian, then in Armenian, then again in French, but in Belgium, and then also used in Australia. So to give you some example of local adaptation. Local adaptation is important. The next slide are the same examples adapted for when to hand rub and translated into even Armenian in a pediatric hospital. The next slide is actually to remind you that institutional safety climate is important, and we have developed tools for that, and I give you an example of the on the next slide of the posters that have been used in Switzerland in the campaigning in 110 hospitals in the country. And the next slide showed you the way some hospitals in Switzerland using giant bottle of hand rub solution signing, healthcare workers were supposed to sign those bottles in order to show their obviously that they were into adopting this campaign. And the next slide show you an example in one hospital where all these big bottles have been used for promotion in the hospital, and this is presented by the CEO of the hospital together with some other member of the directory of the hospital. The next slide show you an example in one hospital where they have prepared a huge posters at the entrance of the hospital, as you can see, to promote clean care is safer care, just to show you an example of the adhesion of some of the healthcare institutions from all around the world. The next slide shows you again some more local adaptations in different countries from all around the world, in Italian, in Armenian, in Russian, And I would insist on the yellow figure, the point of care, which has been used as a very important element of the Clean Your Hands campaign in the UK, the nationwide campaign in the UK, the point of care. Clean your hands immediately before and after you touch your patient, here and now. And I think that's important to really realize and stress the fact that alcohol should be available at the point of care in this multimodal implementation strategy. I'm now moving to the next slide to explain to you that the strategy is currently pilot tested worldwide, but we have actually 6 sites where we implement the entire strategy with the help of co-workers from these 6 testing sites. We have a testing site in Costa Rica, we have one in Mali, I talked to you about it quickly earlier, in Russia, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, and in China, and in Hong Kong. And these are the sites where we have actually pilot sites for the testing of the strategy. Importantly, the implementation strategy, and this is something that we will summarize in the next slide, is tested in pilot sites worldwide. We have 6 pilot sites in each WHO region. We provide full support from WHO at the technical and financial support. We provide a complete package of tools, information, evaluation, education, promotion, and related data analysis program. We even analyze the data from those centers. We made available everything on CD-ROM or through a restricted website access. We have a web community platform to discuss the problem and the issues on an online basis. And we have on-site visits by the challenge team. We have a team of 3 physicians and several healthcare workers who visit hospitals all around the world to help implementing this strategy in the pilot site test. Now, of course, your hospital is certainly not among these different pilot site tests, but we invite every healthcare setting in the world who is willing to actually adhere as a complementary site. We have a numerous sites that are already testing the strategy worldwide. WHO can provide limited technical support. You can access the complete package of tools, all the tools that are used, and related data analysis programs. And we also provide some help for data analysis, and even if you want to submit the data, we can provide you with the data. We actually make access following a formal agreement with your institution to all the tools, and you are part of the web community platform. The next slides, for those who are interested to have their hospital become a complementary site, it's a very simple procedure. You need to access what is the most complicated is the address that is on the website here. But actually, if you access the website of the campaign, you can certainly then access the website to become a complementary site. And this is indicated on your slide. It's a very simple procedure. You benefit from all the tools, and we just ask you to provide to us some feedback. So it's a very easy procedure to actually cope with. It's not difficult at all. And we already have a fantastic participation. We have countries that have registered as sites, and we have taken our tools, hired a graphist, translate all the tools into their language, and the tools within 2 months were available throughout the country for a nationwide promotion strategy with almost no help from our site. So it means that it is very easy to go and very accessible to all those who want to access our strategy. Well, on the next 2 slides, I would like to summarize with you the way forward, and there are many other things that we'll be doing, but the way forward will be pledges and implementation first. We invite all WHO member states, and there are 192 countries from the United Nations who are invited to pledge to make healthcare-associated infection prevention a priority. We already have more than 40 countries who have pledged, and there is a total of 192. We want stakeholders' empowerment to be higher and higher all the time. So we really invite people to come on board, use our tools, give us critiques of the tools, and that's the way we could improve the tools. We link to other alliance streams of work, patients for patient safety, research for patient safety, solutions for patient safety. And this is extremely important. We have regional workshops in the six WHO regions worldwide where we trained people in a three-day training session to actually be able to raise and do a campaign in their institution or in their country. We are strengthening the ongoing collaboration with other WHO departments in order to make sure that we can progress also within WHO. And we are testing the implementation strategy, as I said early, in pilot and complementary sites. The next slide summarizes for you our actions, speaking of scaling up sustainability and monitoring of the impact. We, of course, are going to a dissemination worldwide of the WHO guidelines. We are currently reviewing the guidelines according to the comments and the experience that we obtained from the entire world. And those guidelines will be reissued probably in 2008. We are currently working on the revision of the guidelines already. And it's important, and there will be no a huge modification, certainly, but there will be adaptation according to local needs in several countries and to the pilot test of the instruments. We will expand our current networks. We will create, we are creating a so-called WHO Collaborating Center here in Geneva in order to ensure sustainability of our action. We are developing the concept of hand hygiene-friendly hospitals within WHO. We are working on obtaining a WHO Hand Hygiene Day, and we are evaluating, and that's the most important part, the impact of our strategy on patient safety. And I can tell you that already some data are available and would be made available soon on the overall impact of the strategy. And I can tell you that the strategy is already efficient in the several parts of the world where it has been tested. To me, it's very important to realize, and the next slide, as you can understand, that it means easy infection control for everyone. And I think that this is one of the very important message of this campaign, is that really it makes infection control a top priority and also something that is actually easy for everyone. If we can have this alcohol-based hand rub preparation made in Mali and also in Vietnam, that is the case currently. We have centers producing the solution in Bangladesh, and so it means that really everywhere it can make it available and at a very, very, very low cost. The next slides actually are just for those who are interested, papers that we have published on that are with the issue of the first Global Patient Safety Challenge, Clean Care is Safer Care. There have been several types of publications on these and the next slides. You have the publications, the papers, and on the two next slides that are made available, you have actually the abstracts that have been presented in several meetings from around the world. And on the very ultimate slide that I would like to present to you, that's a thank to the team. It's very important to realize that this work has been made by international experts from all around the world. Our guidelines have been produced by a group of, as I say, almost more than 150 experts. They have been reviewed by 9 independent experts from all around the world and all collaborating departments at WHO. And a very strong team within WHO, the World Alliance for Patient Safety, as listed on the left-hand side of the slide, and for, of course, a very important team at the University Hospitals of Geneva, people involved in hand hygiene study and promotion since actually the early, very early 90s, who really are very used to that. And also from the University of Marseille, Hervé Richet is working on us on this program. And with this last slide, I would like to thank you for your attention. We'd be more than happy to answer any question would the system allow for interactive question on the phone. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much, Professor Pite. It's a stunningly well put together program. When you first brought it to us 18 months ago, I thought it was maybe a little ambitious, but you've really managed to pull it off to a greater extent than I would have thought. That's good credit to your team, I presume, as well.
Yeah,
let me ask, what happens to the effort and the support around hand hygiene when the World Alliance for Patient Safety moves on to the second action area?
Yeah, the second action area is actually in preparation. We are working on the second challenge, and the second challenge is in the field of safe surgery. So it will be a challenge on safe surgery. And of course, as everybody on the phone can understand, a very important part of safe surgery is clean surgery. So we are now working on different instruments to make sure that surgery is safe and is clean, and we are currently developing the instrument to help make surgery a clean surgery. And I'm pretty sure that it could be something very interesting when the instrument will be developed for the audience of the teleclass. And I think, of course, other instrument that would be interesting is probably the instrument that we developed for this first challenge. But the second challenge will be actually safe surgery, and a very important part of safe surgery will be clean surgery.
So all of the materials you have available now and all of that program, that will be ongoing, or will that come to a close?
Well, actually, the program will be ongoing because the tools have been developed now and made available to everyone who would like to use it, but then the tool will certainly be revised according to the feedback that we will receive from as many people as possible and as many countries as possible to make sure that the material is adapted for worldwide use. And that's the very important part. And the second challenge will start, but the team of the first challenge is on board, and we have actually more people working on the first challenge now than we used to have, and these people will continue to work on the first challenge, and some will help to develop the second challenge. But we will never stop the first challenge, actually.
The World Health Organization Hand Hygiene Guideline Advanced Draft is available online. You've given the link for that, or I could certainly email it to people if they want. But would you quickly describe why it's called an advanced draft and not just a guideline document?
The reason why it's called an advanced draft is a rule within the World Health Organization. You cannot issue a guideline and not test the guideline. You need to test the guideline, and then once you have been testing the guidelines, you revise the guideline and you issue a formal document, which is the guideline, and it's not called advanced draft anymore. The only reason why it's called advanced draft is that you cannot issue a guideline if you have not tested the guideline, which makes it completely different to any guidelines that you can produce by many societies. And that's why we had to develop tools to make sure that the guidelines would be used.
Thank you all for joining the teleclass today. A special thanks to Professor Pite for an outstanding presentation and for his Herculean efforts on behalf of the World Health Organization and really on behalf of patients worldwide.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Folks, I wish you all the best, and until we meet again, goodbye.